Welcome back. You're listening to Rivers of Unicorns, the hub for tech enthusiasts. We're a virtual accelerator that supports innovative ideas and startups in underserved communities, setting them on a path to exponential growth. We are supported by the Kaywood Brown Foundation and powered by NetOps. Please visit our website, www.riversofunicorns.com, for more information. And be sure to sign up for our programs. My co-host for today is Amy Harry, and I am Sotoye Odugumi. Let's welcome our guest founder, Jennifer Nkemenaya, who is the founder of Amarantine Media. Welcome.
Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Jennifer, what is Amarantine Media?
Amarantine Media is an indigenous storytelling machine and production company which operates by creating content and value for production houses, brands, organizations, and individuals through storytelling, content development, and media consultancy. That's who we are. That's what we do. Some of what we do.
So Jennifer, can you explain, like when you say content creation and all, can you explain exactly what your organization does in a way that an individual who isn't conversant with the media industry and what content creation and development, all of those things, for such a person to be able to understand you?
Okay, if we break it down to the basics, one of our primary objectives, one of the primary things we do is write. That's as basic as it can get. We write. We write stories. We write screenplays. We write anything that can be transformed into a production, you know, whether it's a stage production or it's a movie production or it's an animation or it's a brand story. We are writers. We are creators. That's the baseline. We create. We write. We're storytellers. That's why I started by saying we are an indigenous storytelling machine. We are storytellers primarily. This storytelling has diverse uses and diverse applications, but that's the baseline of what Amarantine Media does. We are storytellers. We tell stories.
Fantastic. So what inspired the idea? Is there a story?
Okay. I've always been a writer. I've been writing since. I'm a lawyer by training, by the way. But writing has always been something that I was able to do from far back when I was in primary school. And then after I wanted to study theater arts, but my parents insisted that I should study law back then because I looked like a lawyer. I sounded like a lawyer, yeah. But eventually I came back to the career path that I always knew I wanted to do, and that was screenwriting and every other thing related to it. So why did I start Amarantine Media? I had worked as a features editor, editor-in-chief, and so on and so forth for other companies. But a time came when I decided that I wanted to be in charge of the products that I put out. I didn't just want to be creating products and content for other people. I wanted to have a say in the content that I was creating. And another reason was that Amarantine Media also has a specific focus on creating content for children and teenagers. I'm a mother of two. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 5-year-old son. And it's important to me that they start to have access, that we start to create a plethora of media that is relatable, that my children, I want to create media that my children can see themselves in. I don't want them to, I want to be able to create African-centered media that carries our values, that carries our morals, that teaches our culture, our things that relate to us as Africans and as Nigerians and as West Africans, you know. So I want to be able to do that for my children. And I know that it's a work in progress at the moment, but even just having this conversation with my children, my daughter asks me, am I going to see somebody like myself in your animations? And I tell her, yes. And I already know that this is something that a lot of children may not be able to communicate, but that is something that we need to do for them. And that is one of the pivotal pillars of the Amarantine Media, creating content for children and teenagers, African-centered content.
So can you tell us what your experience was like during the launch phase of your business? How was it for you to penetrate the market? getting users, growth, everything where it was concerned. How was that like?
Okay. Starting off, I already had some traction or a foothold in industry because, like I said, I've been writing for a while, and then I have written for other production houses. I still write for other production houses, by the way. But at the time, I decided to take the step and start my own company. I had just finished writing for Africa Magic Tinsel, and I felt I was ripe to create a platform of my own. So when I started, it was hard, actually, because I'm used to being the creative person in this space. I'm used to just focusing on creativity, content, stories. But at this point, I had to start dealing with corporate stuff. I had to deal with registration. I'm a lawyer, so it makes it kind of easier for me. But I had to deal with all the corporate hullabaloo associated with starting a company. And I found out that it dealt with my creativity. It was harder for me to create when I had to also hustle the entire brand building aspect of the business. But eventually I got my group back. I actually attended a few entrepreneurial courses just to give me a head start of how a company should be run, if I should say it that way. So when I got the structure in place, it's not entirely in place, but when I got the structure standing, at least, I was able to refocus on creating content, which is my primary. In fact, in the company, my designation is the chief content officer, you know, so that's my focus, you know. So at the initial stage, I had to juggle being every other thing plus creating content. But now that I'm a little more settled, I'm able to delineate my responsibilities and focus on creating content. So yeah, I leveraged on some of the networks I already had from working for other people, leverage on those networks, leverage on the referrals, leverage on my good name, essentially speaking. And of course, aside from working for other people, like I said, one of the core pillars and one of the core visions of Amarantine Media is to create content for children and teenagers. So I finally kicked that off. It's not been easy, I must say, but I had some practice with handling animations and animated productions for other clients. So I finally kicked that off, and it's been another work in progress. So I wouldn't say I've gone very far yet. I wouldn't say I'm not still in the startup phase. I'm very much in the startup phase, but I have more direction. I have more purpose. My goals are more delineated. I think that's one of the issues when I started. I wanted to do a whole lot of things at the same time. But now my goals are clearer. My vision is clear. My vision is clear. I know where I'm going, and now I know the paths that I have to take to get where I'm going. So yeah, those were the challenges I had when I first started. Flipping, juggling between being the content creator and being the corporate head as well. Those were the issues I had. Those were some of the issues I had when I first started.
Right. So you shared with us some of your challenges. Can you talk us through your best and worst experiences with users?
Okay, well, so far, the work we do is very interesting. Okay, let's start from my worst experience, yeah. So in addition to writing screenplays and productions and all of that stuff, I also run screenwriting classes. And I run online screenwriting classes. And I found that people are not very eager to pay for knowledge, let me put it that way, you know. So I have a lot of people come up to me online, offline, and tell me, oh, I'm such a, I have great ideas, I have great stories. Oh, can you mentor me? Can you do this? Can you do that? But the minute you say, okay, you know what? In fact, one of the reasons I started the screenwriting classes was to be able to manage these expectations, because there is no way I'm going to be mentoring 10 different people at their own time. No, I decided to put a structure to it, you know, and make it a class. But the minute I made it a class and put a price on it, suddenly the people that were interested, that had such great ideas for screenwriting, were not that interested anymore, you know. So I just realized that That is an issue, or that is a road, a barrier or an obstacle that I have to, whether I have to teach them about it or I have to, I don't know what step I'm going to take at the moment, but that's one thing I know. It's very curious for me because I spend money on self-development. I mean, like I said, I'm a lawyer by training. So when I knew that I wanted to focus on screenwriting, I spent money. I took trips. I traveled. I invested in the career path that I was going to take, but I do not know how to transmit that same passion to the people that want to learn from me, to make them realize that I know how to tell stories is not screenwriting. That you have a story idea, it does not make you a screenwriter. So that's one of my issues with users. That's one of my worst issues, yes. So even after I rejected the whole class, made videos and, you know, made more added video lessons and so on and so forth, it was still a struggle getting people to sign up to the classes, even people that had previously indicated interest. So that's one of my worst. One of my best, okay, this year in particular has been really great for me as a screenwriter. I think I'm on my eighth screenplay at the moment, eight or nine screenplay. I'm going to head write a series. Okay, I created a series and it has been approved by one of our media production houses, and that it's been green lighted and I'm going to write that series. And for the first time as a screenwriter, I'm going to be able to manage a team of writers, my own team of writers, to create a series. So those are some of the high points in my year as a screenwriter. My clients are happy. My users are happy. I have delivered screenplays to production houses, various production houses during the course of the year. Most of them are in production at the moment, and I'm sure before the end of the year, I'll have several more titles to my name as screenwriter. So yeah, those are some of my best user experiences during the course of this year.
Where do you see, with all you've said, now you've gotten the deals this year, congratulations, that's awesome, your business is progressing. So can you tell us where you see Amarantine Media in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years, Amarantine Media is going to be positioned as a Pan-African global brand creating content for children. Like, we're going to be the premier brand for content for African related, relatable content for children and teenagers. That is a big, it's a huge part of our vision. And that is, I'm not trying to come and struggle in an already saturated market. I'm not necessarily looking for blockbuster movies, one of blockbuster movies. No, I'm looking to create organically and create content that Nigerians, West Africans, and Africans as a whole will be excited about giving their children access to, whether it's online, whether it's on TV stations, and so on and so forth. I'm even looking to own my own TV station in the future. Something like, in fact, on my vision board or my pitch deck, my vision is the Nickelodeon of Africa. I want to, that's my goal. Where you can see diverse content from animations to films for children, for teenagers, that's where I'm going to, the Nickelodeon of Africa. And the next thing is to summarize.
Great. And so when you're thinking about your vision and the future, do you see yourself getting investors in your business?
Actually, I do. But it gives me anxiety. I do. Right now, I'm bootstrapping. So I'm earning money and I'm earning money from my outside jobs and investing in my in-house jobs. That's what I'm doing at the moment. You know, I've had a few offers from investors, but it's never been anything promising. It's always like they want to take more than they're willing to give. And I'm trying not to be greedy. You know, I'm trying not to think only for the moment. I'm trying to think for the future. And I'm trying to ask myself, in another 5 years, will I look back at this decision and be proud of it? And the few times it has happened, the few times I've had to make that choice, it has not been in favor of investment. So yes, I'm looking forward to having investors, definitely, but I'm not just looking for someone to throw money at me. No, I'm looking for someone who will understand that building a media brand is not the same thing as selling wigs or hair. I'm not going to be able to quantify, oh, I'm going to sell two wigs I'm going to sell 2 weeks for 150K and my profit is going to be 50K. It's not that straightforward with building a major brand. So that's why I'm going to have to look for an investor that understands the business and is passionate. I just don't want to collect money and enter VC, if you understand what I mean. Yes, but yes, definitely investors. Yeah, I'm talking from experience because I got involved in something like that last year. It wasn't even my money and it wasn't my project. So if you have time, let me tell you this quick story. So I had the movie going. I wrote a screenplay for a production house and it was going to the cinemas. And it was my first cinema movie in the sense that most of my other movies, they just show it on those TV stations. But this one was going to go to the cinema and I was really excited about it. But the producer had a hitch along the way. They ran out of funds, and taking a movie to the cinemas is expensive because you have to pay for marketing and pay for extra stuff. So I convinced a friend to invest in the movie. I mean, at the point you're convincing them, you're not going to tell you, they know that there might be profit or losses, but you know, everybody just focuses on the profit side, you know. Well, unfortunately for us, this one did not make any profit and it was an ugly situation, especially because I served as a middleman. In retrospect, I should have made the introduction and stepped away from the transaction, but I stayed in as the middleman. I was transferring funds. I was doing all of that and doing all of that. And when it came back to bite me in the, I can't say it on air, it was bad. So yeah, so that's why, like, I think, in fact, for a while I said I was going to start selling shoes or something, that maybe this wasn't the big career for me after all, you know. But but eventually, after crying my eyes out for a few weeks, I pulled myself together. And to cut a long story short, that friend and I, I wouldn't even say we're cordial. We say hello and hi when we have to. But that relationship has been tainted, and that's why I'm very worried. Like right now, everybody would enjoy having an inflow of cash, but I will do it with the most careful. I will be as careful as I can be when I am going into that kind of venture, venture with anybody right now. Yeah. That's the unfortunate story that led me here.
Thank you for your candid response. So while you are erring on the side of caution as you're looking for investors, can you give us your 1 minute elevator pitch?
Amarantine Media is an indigenous storytelling machine and production company producing film and animated content with a particular focus on impactful, homegrown, and educational content for children and teenagers.
Thank you so much. That was lovely and concise. So, as you know, the program is called Rivers of Unicorns, and a unicorn is a private company valued at $1 billion or more. So, here is a fun question for you. If you were a unicorn, which would you be?
Okay, I would be an Airbnb. Yeah, that's what I would be. Because I feel like their business model will never go out of fashion. I've used an Airbnb. I traveled from Paris, France to Barcelona, and we used an Airbnb. Like, for it may not be such a big deal in Nigeria yet, but it's the easiest, most affordable way to travel for people like me that like to travel. You know, it may just be a pokey little room somewhere, but it's somewhere to lay your head. So it will never go out of fashion. I mean, even right now with Corona and everything, and yes, maybe people are not traveling as much. The minute people start traveling, that business is up, back and up without any need to infuse any more cash. It just exists because people must live in homes. You know, unless there was a global earthquake and everybody's houses suddenly crumbled, Airbnb will exist with little or no marketing. They will just exist and make money from other people's homes. And that, for me, I feel I wish I had an idea like that didn't require too much effort, you know, I could just reach into other people's brains and just, you know, all homes and just make money from everybody else around the world. So that would be, if I was to do something like that, if I was to be a unicorn company, that would be the model I would seek. Something that is basic. Housing is basic. Everybody lives in a house. That would be it for me.
Wow. Thank you, Jennifer. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Yes, thank you. It was lovely having you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Satonya. It was lovely being here. It's always lovely to talk about my business because the more I talk about it, the more I believe in it. So thank you for the opportunity.
And all the best with the business.
Thank you.
As you heard from our guest founder, Jennifer, what you studied in undergrad does not necessarily have to define your career path. In life, we all have the opportunity to reinvent ourselves. And as a tech advocate, I'll urge you all to think outside the box. Dare to dream, be, and do differently. Who knows? You might just come up with a next revolutionary idea, which may be an invention that you can patent or a service that applies existing technologies in a new way. The one thing that is certain is that ideas rule the world. So with the information given to you by Swala, as you brainstorm, be sure to explore the right entities that can position your startup for growth. And in our next episode, we'll explain how to attract the right investors, set up a founding team, and the importance of having a good exit strategy. So, in the meantime, that's it. We've come to the end of today's episode, which was brought to you by NetOps, an organization focused on building people and systems in Africa to leverage internet opportunities for social and economic development. In partnership with the Kaywood Brown Foundation, a youth empowerment and development foundation focused on preparing the leaders of tomorrow today. You can learn more on the foundation's work through their website. That's www.kaywoodbrownfoundation.org. And be sure to follow them on their various social media handles. On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Kaywood Brown Foundation. And on Twitter, it's at KWB Foundation. So we hope you've been inspired to start looking at the problems in your communities as marketable solutions. If you do and you need help, please log on to our website www.riversofunicorns.com and sign up for useful resources. A special thanks to Niner Tech, Maxon Records, Techative, and Daughters of Botany for contributing to make this episode possible. Until the same time next week, we are your hosts, Amy and Sotonye. Have a lovely weekend.